So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want to talk to you on the subject today. Victimhood is not my hood. Victimhood is not my hood. I want you to understand and just go ahead and decide. I'm not going to ask you to look at your neighbor. I'm going to ask you to look within yourself and say, I'm not going to be a victim anymore. I'm not going to sit around, bellyache, mully grub, blame everybody else for my situation. But I'm going to get out of this hood. Book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 says this: you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, Pastor, what does this have to do with victimhood? It has a lot to do with it. I'm going to get there. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Thank you, musicians. Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your word today. Grant us that which makes preaching easy and effective, and that is the anointing. Give us ears to hear and a heart and mind to receive, that we will not be the same when we leave this place today, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. The people of God and the church of the living God was never intended to be an adapter of cultural norm. What do I mean by that? I mean that we were not called to adapt to the culture, but we were called to be the salt of the culture. Now, but the church, like salt, was meant to alter, to change, to impact the cultural norms and change them, but never be changed by them. I'm talking to somebody. Now, we were called to change the norm, but not for us to be changed by them. Well, Pastor, I don't want to go back to the way it used to be, and I'm not declaring that we should. Because, listen, I love air conditioning. My dad talked about brush arbors and sawdust trails. I like comfortable seats. I love air conditioning. I love dust not getting all up my nose. I like that stuff. And when you got a schnauzer like mine, it's real easy to get up there. But I like those things. But however, we cannot, in changing our methodology, we cannot change what we were meant to do, and that is to bring flavor to this world. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. But one of the hardest things for the church to do is stay in the middle of the road, because people always want to go to one ditch or the other. That we swing to one side or the other, but our task is to not be drawn to the world, but then not to just be drawn to religiosity. And we've got to be the salt of the earth. Now, the church has done some of the same things as the world or as people do, because the church has gone to one ditch or the other. What do you mean by that? Well, one ditch is the church doesn't interact with their culture at all. That we just kind of huddle together behind the doors of the church and pray that the world doesn't influence or doesn't come through the doors. That's not God's plan. Or we do the opposite and go to the other extreme and let the world come in, and then the church has lost its flavor, has lost its salt. Well, Pastor, what do we do? We've got to stay in the middle of the road. We've got to know where we've called to, and we've got to know what to do while we're here. That we are not to be influenced by the world. We are to influence the world, but we are also not to be so religious that we're no good to the world. Oh, somebody hear me. See, too many of us are salt sitting in the shaker. We sit and we don't do anything, or we sit and we don't say anything. We sit and we don't flavor anything. We sit in a cabinet somewhere and talk about everything that's going on around us, but we don't want to get involved with any of it, because if we get involved, it might cause some drama. And we like the saying, save the drama for your mama. But we don't want to get involved with the drama. But can I tell you, when you get involved with people, people are messy. When you get involved with people's problems, they're even messier. But you can't help people unless you get involved. A salt can't add flavor just sitting over here on the shelf. The salt has to be shaken into the mix of things. But when the salt is truly the salt, then it changes the flavor of the food. See, the other ditch is that the church that it so desperately wants to be relevant that they adapt to every cultural norm. And sometimes it's hard to tell the church from the club. Pastor Josh said, I don't want to do a country club praise. I'm not sure exactly what he meant by that, but I got the gist. How many of you got the gist? But sometimes it's hard to know the church from the club, but they too have lost their ability to influence culture because they have lost their flavor, their savor, their reason for being. And one of these cultural norms is what I'm going to deal with today, and that is that everybody's a victim. And we don't have a personality or an identity unless we identify with the victim that we have become. But I'm here to declare that you're not a victim in the name of Jesus. You're not a victim, you're a victor. Can I get a good amen? For those of you who are taking notes, point number one is this. Let's talk about the rise of victimhood. Wait, Pastor, is that a real thing? Absolutely. Listen, there's a graph. Do I have that graph? Is it my next slide? Throw it up there if it is. Yes. This, and I had to make it because this is a handmade, very technical. But as I read the statistics, I couldn't find the graph. So as I read the statistics, I want you to look from 1800 to about 1970 or 60, there was no mention of victimhood. And I understand that there were so many people who didn't report anything because you didn't have any rights. Come on, somebody. And so you just took it. From 1800 to 1900, the word victimhood was almost non-existent in our society, almost as if none considered themselves a victim. However, I recognize that most people did not report being a victim. Then it faded again and didn't emerge until 1970, but really began to gain momentum in 1980. And today, it is literally off the charts. Because everybody you talk to is a victim. And everybody you talk to talks about their rights, but nobody else's rights. Oh, you're going to get political today, Pastor? No, I'm going to get biblical. See, ours is a cultural of victim and victimhood, and it is a way of life for many in our population. I know people who literally make, and I'm not talking about lawyers, who literally make their living by suing people. That's how they make their living. They're just looking for somebody to sue. Right here at the church, I hope not, in the name of Jesus. Of course, there are many reasons, but I think the primary is control. Because control, ours is a culture of victimhood, and many times they don't want to be in control. They just want the rewards of being in control. Oh, let me talk about it a little bit. See, those in power or those who aspire to power have learned it's easier to manage or it's easier to control handicapped people. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Wait, what? Yeah. If you consider yourself handicapped, then it's easier for other folks above you to control you. And then it's also easier for you to excuse your behavior. So they handicapped us by having us to believe that we are responsible for the mess that we are in, and we have no way of righting ourselves because we are victim. Now, here it comes. I want you to catch this. The victim stance is a powerful one. The victim is always morally right. And if you're morally right, then neither responsible nor accountable and forever entitled to sympathy. Oh, I got four amens. If you know what I'm talking about, just give me a. Because I'm talking about your neighbor. I might be talking about your spouse right now. Come on, somebody. Your children or your mama. The victimhood has crept into the church. And I know because I hear the questions that are asked me and reasons I hear during counseling sessions. I'm not diminishing what some of people have been through. I want you to hear me closely. I'm not diminishing what people have been through. I've heard stories that have left me numb, stunned, in pain, some monster has inflicted on you. Well, the reality is, if we were all to get real, we've all been victimized by today's standard of victim. If you've ever been grabbed by the arm and whipped in a circle, how many know what I'm talking about? Your mama grabbed you in the arm and just wore you out, going around in circles. Whipped in a circle. If you've ever been made to go cut your own switch, that is mental torture. Come on. If you've ever been asked, how many licks do you think you deserve? There's no right answer. How long restriction do you think you deserve? I would always go, I believe 14 years. That way there's, no, baby, you wasn't that bad. Reverse psychology. Come on, somebody. We've all been victim, right? How many's ever, just by the show of hands, how many's ever been whipped with a shoe? Because they didn't have anything close. I've been wore out by a shoe. My mama one day was walking like this. I said, what's wrong, mama? She goes, one of my shoes wore out. I said, it's wore out on my behind. You didn't wear it out walking. You wore it out on my behind. We've all been victimized at different times and in different ways. Some have been victimized behind closed doors, others on public playgrounds, but we don't have to allow victimhood to become our identity and the way of life. I refuse to let what something happened to me define who I am and cause me not to enjoy my life and cause me to not be a victor and be a victim. In my lifetime, I've endured some things, and I'm sure you have too, but I've come by to tell you today that, bless God, I am nobody's victim, because the blood of Jesus is stronger than what happened to me. The grace of God is bigger than my issue. The blessing of God is bigger than what I've been through. And I refuse to let anybody other than Christ Jesus, who died on the cross for me, tell me who or what I am. I depend on what Jesus said I am. Point number two is simply this: I am not a victim. No matter what I've been through, I'm still here. You need to look at your victim. You need to look at the person who victimized you and say whatever you want to, or you might not want to look at them, but you just declare in the name of Jesus, despite what you did, despite what you tried to do to me, despite what the devil planned against me, I'm still here and I'm not going anywhere, because I recognize that I stand not on my own strength, but the strength and the might of the power of the Most High God. Never surrender your potential to an event. So many of us have quit because of what's happened to you. What happened to you is not who you are. But you don't understand. I do. You'd be surprised. I've been doing this for 30 years now. I've heard some stuff that would curl your toenails. I've heard some things that have curled my own toenails. I've sat there and thinking, oh, my God. I've sat there and think, oh, Jesus, it's only by the grace of God that you didn't kill somebody. Come on, somebody. Huh? I've had to talk some people off the ledge because they were thinking about killing somebody. Come on. You've got to understand. You've got to decide that I'm not going to surrender what God said I could be. Because before the abuse ever got there, before you were ever victimized, God had a plan. God fearfully and wonderfully made you. Before the doctor ever smacked you on the butt, and when you came out of your mama's womb, God said you were fearfully and wonderfully made, and he has a plan for you. And I refuse to what happened to me, or to let what happened to me determine what God's going to do in my life. Never allow an ignorant, hate-filled monster to define you. Woo! I'm still here. I ain't heard no bell. I'm still in the fight, baby. See, let me tell you the story of a boy by the name of Joe. Joe was born into a large family, well-to-do family. He had many brothers. There's 11 in my family, but we wasn't born in a well-to-do. But there's always usually one in the family who's spoiled. And if you say, well, we didn't have anybody spoiled in my family, it's you. Yeah. Naturally, his older brothers didn't appreciate his favorite child status, but they let it get way out of hand. Because instead of just beating them up like big brothers are supposed to do, everybody's talking about, oh, my brothers, my siblings picked on me. I'm number 10. Why could I fight good in school? Because I had six bigger brothers and sisters. My sister were bigger than me. My three sisters were bigger than me. I had to fight all of them. We were poked. Not poor Pope, had an OR on layaway. And for Christmas, what you got for Christmas is you got birthday spanking by everybody in the family. So when you turned 12, you had 10 people spanking you for 12 times, and they always gave you that one big extra one to grow on. Anybody raised like I was raised? Uh-huh. I'm putting a group together of victims. That's why I wanted you to raise your hand. I'm gonna invite you to my group. Come on, somebody. But here's this boy named Joe. His brothers didn't just beat him up. These guys plotted to murder Joe. And the only thing that stopped them is that one of them got scared, so they gang rushed him and threw him into a pit. Now, if you've read your Bible any, you know I'm talking about Joseph in the book of Genesis. He was a victim. He was alone in the pit. Joe cried out asking forgiveness, and whatever he had done, he didn't know what he had done. Finally, they dragged him out of the pit. Joe thought that they had had their fun and it was all over, but they decided to sell Joe as free labor. Joe ended up in a government official's home, knowing that the only way to stay alive was to work hard. So he worked hard, harder than the rest, and Potiphar put him in charge of everything. But Potiphar's wife, well, she had some issues of herself. She was something had happened to her when she was young or something, and so she was fixated on Joe, and so she decided that she wanted to have Joe because Big Daddy wasn't doing it for her. So she went ahead and seduced Joe and grabbed a hold of Joe's clothes, and Joe just left. He went buck naked. One guy said, bucket naked. He went buck naked out of the house because he said, I am not going to sin against my God and Potiphar. Some of us have been abused for doing the right thing. So Potiphar, well, he got upset, and because he was accused of a sex crime, They couldn't prove it, but they put him in jail anyway. Come on, somebody. So just like his brother Potiphar ignored his pleas, and as he declared his innocence and without trial, unjust, unfit, ain't fair, they dragged him off to prison. So he went from the pit to the palace to the prison. And in prison, he encouraged other prisoners by telling him, promotion's coming, but when you get it, don't forget about me. But you know the story for many of you. But when he did get the promotion, he was forgotten again for another 2 years while he languished in prison. See, now if I was Job in Genesis, I would be upset. I would be crying and belly aching, but not Job. Job, the Bible says, but the Lord was with him. And I know some of you have wondered, why, God, if you are God, why did you let this happen to me? When I was innocent. I don't know the answer to that, but all I'm telling you is the same thing happened to Job. And Job made it out. Come on, somebody. Job made it out. But finally, you know, he went to the pit, Potiphar's house, to prison. Job had did nothing wrong. He had been victimized nearly his whole life. But finally the day came that he would face his brothers again. And listen to what he said in Genesis 50. And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. Now, listen, I know you don't want to hear this. I know you don't want to hear this part. I don't know why you went through all of what you went through. But I've come by to tell you that what the devil meant for evil, God is turning it around for good. I hate that you went through it, I hate that you've been through it, and I'm not discounting, and shame on whoever it was who put you there. However, God knows how to take your mess and give you a message out of it. He knows how to take your test and give you a testimony. He knows what other people need. Some other folks would have died in the abuse, but you didn't. You stood strong, and you're here today, and God's going to use what you've been through to help somebody, to give somebody a map, a roadmap, how to get out of what you got out of. In Genesis 50, 20. What you meant, the process of designing a pattern or plan for action or device, plotted, planned, calculated to an event. Evil means evil, misery, distress, injury, something dysfunctional. Everybody in here has went through something that should have made you crazy. Some of y'all still crazy. I should be this way or that way. Some of you should be this way or that way. But my next slide says it all. But God. Hey. But God. If it were not for the grace of God, I would be victim. If it was not for the grace of God, I would look back and think this and think that. If it were not for the grace of God, I would look at folks of what they did and hold grudges. But the first step to freedom is that phrase right there, but God. The problem that we have with a victim mentality is that we forget to see the blessing of God on the day. Because of this, our spirit is poisoned instead of nourished. I'm not saying that you have to fight, that you don't have to fight sometimes every day, but the fight is worth it. And if you've been through what some of you have been through, what I know, that some days are easier than others. And some days trigger you. And some things trigger you. But I declare today that victimhood is not my hood. I'm not going to live in a dilapidated state. My family's not going to suffer because of what I went through. My children are not going to suffer because of what I went through. I'm not passing on my neighborhood. I'm burning that bad boy to the ground by the blood of Jesus. And ain't nobody that is attached to me is going to have to go through the same neighborhood that I lived in called victimhood. Point number three is simply this. We don't see God, only the problem and the pain and the misery. Here's what John chapter 3 verses, or chapter 5 verse 3 says. I don't have it up on the screen. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Crowds of sick people, blind, lamed, paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him. He asked him, would you like to get well? My question to you today is, would you like to get well? Whew. Well, but I don't know, Pastor. I've carried this thing so long, it's really my identity. It's my go-to crutch. It's what I go to when I get hurt and I don't know what else to say. It's what I go to that I go back to this thing every time. What am I going to do if I don't have a crutch? I'll tell you, you want to stand on your own two feet. You have to stand by the power of Almighty God. I'll tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to stand by the grace and the mercy of God. You're going to stand by this book. You're not going to be able to stand by feeling. You got to stand by faith. We don't walk by feeling. We don't look by sight. We walk and see by faith. Faith in the word of the living God. See, the devil plotted. The devil planned. The devil invented an event to make you forever dysfunctional and miserable. That's what he wants you to do. See, oh, good Lord. See, here's one of the problems, and I ain't going to preach this today, but it's working in my spirit. One of the problems is we got too many Christian folks walking around in the promised land bound. You saved, but bound. You on your way to heaven, but living through hell to get there. You saved, but you bound. Y'all going to hear a little bit more about that. I'm working on something. Here's what the man said. Do you want to be well? I can hear it. Well. Whenever it starts like that, well. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You want to be made whole? Well. Well, I'd like to, but it's time to get your butt out of the way. I've been lying here for 38 years, and the greatest healer of all time is standing in front of you, and he asks you, would you like to get well? Well? Verse 7, New Living Translation says, sir, or he didn't say sir, he says, I can't. I'm asking you, do you want to get well? I can't. Why? The sick man said, for I have no one to put me in the pool. When the water bubbles up, someone else always gets there ahead of me. Excuses. Excuses. The expositor Bible says, a man paralyzed, apparently in mind as well as body. See, your dysfunction, your body was healed. Ooh, Jesus. Your body was healed, but your mind wasn't. Your soul wasn't. Your emotions wasn't. Today's a good day to get well, because the master physician is in the house. He had become a victim in his mind. Well, I can't. Would you like to get well? Well, I can't. Yes, that's the answer you need to have. Yes. Do you want to get well? Yes. Do you want to be better? Yes. And get the butts out of the way. Yes, I want to be better. The very answer, however, showed that he was hopelessly a victim. I can't. I can't. A victim of whatever first paralyzed him. And then a victim of people's indifference to his plight. Victimhood had become the established order for him. This is my lot in life. I guess I'll just have to carry this my whole life. The devil is a liar. If being a victim is your only identity, you desperately need a new one. You need a new identity. The only person stuck in place when you live in a victimhood is you. As you see in this story, it's paralyzing. Instead of rising up and conquering, we lie down and whine. Jimmy Miller wrote this: your complaints, your drama, your victim mentality, your whining, your blaming, and all of your excuses have never gotten you even a single step closer to your goals and your dreams. John 5 and 8, Jesus tells him, stand up! You know, but Pastor, when we're dealing with people with issues, we need to speak calmly to them so not to trigger them. I want to trigger you today. I want to trigger you to declare that today is the day of my healing. I want to trigger you today that today you'll start packing up your boxes because I'm moving to a new neighborhood and it ain't victimhood. Oh, hang on a minute. I wrote something down. I can't find it. Where did we find it? Oh, come on, iPad. Where's it at? It's good. Where's it at? I know I got it. Why don't you just say it, Pastor? Because I can't remember exactly how I wrote it. And it was good when I wrote it. And you write as much as I write. Sometimes you forget I don't remember what I preached on Sunday night. Neither do some of you. Some of you don't remember what I preached by lunchtime. Come on, somebody. Some of you don't even know what I'm preaching right now. Because you're still on your cell phone and Facebook. And checking your statuses. Uh-huh. Somebody on their Facebook right now. That's why you're laughing. Where is it at? Oh, I don't know. I can't remember. Where's that? Where'd I put it? Amen. Bust out. Here, but I'll tell you the gist of it. See, here's why I'm not a victim no more. Because I have a history of victory. Hear me. I have a history of victory. Boy, you knew I was looking for that the whole time. Did I skip that one or something? You don't know. You just found it. Right, way to go. I have a history of victory. I made it through some stuff people didn't think I was going to make it out of. I've come through some stuff that people didn't know I was going to make it through. Come on, somebody. Here's why: because I've never been alone. Come on, somebody. I've always had God on my side. Even when I wasn't on his side, he was still on mine. Let go of your excuses. Let go of the paralyzing belief that today is going to be the same as yesterday, and begin to believe that today is a new day. If you believe that the blood of Jesus can heal you from your sin, then know that he can heal you from the scars of what somebody else put on you. Today's a new day. Don't let your history interfere with your destiny. Don't let the pain of your past poison your potential for your future. Understand, let today be the day you stop being a victim of circumstances and start taking action toward the life you want. You have the power and the time to shape your own life. Quit giving credit. Because that's what you're doing. People who hurt you and abuse you, you're giving them credit and you're giving them control. Why would you give them one more gift? Not today. Well, but Pastor, you don't understand. It wasn't somebody. I brought this on myself. All right. Whatever. Let's talk about it. Pastor, I started using. All right. Still, why are you going to let Jim Beam define you? Why are you going to let Jack Daniels control you? Why are you going to let Budweiser determine who you are? Why are you going to let meth or crack or any other drug or any other substance decide who you are and how you're going to feel. Well, I just can't feel right unless I get a little something in me. No, baby. What you need in you is the Holy Ghost. What you need in you is the love of Jesus. You have the power. Break free from the poisonous victim mentality and embrace the truth of your greatness. See, you were not meant for the mundane or the mediocrity of life. I've preached this several weeks ago, but I got to hit it one more time. In Mark chapter 10, verse 47, remember blind Bartimaeus? And he cried out. See, some people tried to victimize him because he heard about all that Jesus did. And then he heard, because he was blind, he heard that Jesus was coming by. And he said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And some people said, "Shh, hush. You're disturbing him. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing me. I brought you." But the Bible said he cried out the louder, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the Bible said Jesus stopped. I believe today Jesus is stopping by your hood. If you'll cry out to him, he'll stop. And he said, "Bring him to me." And the Bible says that when blind Bartimaeus got up, he took off his coat, because the coat was an identity that identified him as a blind man who had the right to beg. He said, "I ain't gonna need this." Man, some of y'all need to go ahead and get the power cut off at that neighborhood. I ain't coming back here. I might have to sleep on the floor in my new neighborhood, but I ain't sleeping here another day. Pastor, you don't know. You don't know what my spouse. See, this quote qualified him for alms. And when blind Bartimaeus discarded the coat, he was making a bold declaration. He's saying, "I'm no longer going to need this coat." Before he ever was healed, he declared, "I see my answer. I'm not a victim any longer." We don't know what caused him to be paralyzed. We don't know who it was. I read one theologian that believed that something had happened to him in his younger life. We just know that he had been this way for 38 years. We don't know why blind Bartimaeus, what had become blind. Matter of fact, one of the theologians of blind Bartimaeus said that "I would receive my sight" mean that he had his sight at one point in time. Which meant somebody or something happened to cause him to be blind. "Why are you so mean? Why are you so negative? Oh, you don't know what I've been through. I just don't want to get my hopes up." Let's move out of that neighborhood. Let's move out. Today, I want you to stand to your feet as free men and free women. Come on, stand to your feet. Throw your hands in the air. Wave them like you just don't care. Come on. Hallelujah. Today, God, I'm free. I'm breaking free. Today is a new day. Don't let your history interfere with your destiny. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Listen, we're going to sing this song. And as they sing this song, I want you just to, whatever that neighborhood, that victimhood you've been living in, I want you to begin to step out. I want my spirit life team to come, because there's some that might need to have some prayer. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. And if you need prayer today, then I want you to step out. Join us down here as we sing this song. Just give me a few more minutes and we'll be done. Come on, sing it.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.